Good morning.
Morning, Gary.
I was thinking about our microphone. Was I standing too close to that mic?
No, you.
Okay. Well, you're ready, folks. Okay.
There we go.
This morning I have chosen a passage of scripture because I think one of the big issues that we find in our world is that we don't have an adequate level of knowledge about God's Word.
Do something to your microphone.
Please.
Everything should be working.
It's the mic itself.
Can you hear? We go. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on. But anyway, I think one of the great things that are happening to us in the world today is that we don't have Bible knowledge that puts the X's and the O's together, the connects the dots and all the punctuation in it. And so it's not a new problem. We find it in Galatians. Paul addresses a problem here that I have. That the church has, his congregation has, and it's found in Galatians, the first chapter, verses 1 through 10, or verses, chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. It says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion or are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one preached to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. As we see the scripture that we share, Paul uses here pretty strong language to the church in Galatia. Now, Galatia is a province of Rome, and it includes the Pisidian, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and regions of Phrygia. That probably means nothing to each one of you, but it was a general letter that was written and was intended to be distributed throughout the area there and in parts of Rome. The issue was there was a deserting of the grace of Christ and, secondly, turning to a false gospel. Now, I don't know what the story of your faith journey has been. I don't know how it is that you came to Christ. But according to the scriptures, that there is a way that we come to Christ. And certainly it is founded in God's holy word. Now, if you were going to share with someone how to become a Christian, what would you tell them? What would be the first thing you tell them? Well, generally we say, you got to get baptized. That's what we generally say. You got to believe God. But that isn't the biblical concept here of why, what we do to become part of Christ. In fact, countless times throughout the entire New Testament, in fact, in the Old Testament, it was a big deal in the Old Testament, it talks about faith. Faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ, and a continuing and abiding faith that allows us to receive and accept the very truth of God. That very truth of God is the issue we want to talk to you about today. But faith is the fundamental and the primary source of our salvation. Because faith is what takes us and allows us the strength and the ability to withstand all the schemes of the devil, which we talked about last week. But the problem is, in the church, when we get grounded, we just die. When we get grounded, when we get grounded in our faith and we begin to move along, and we talked about it a little bit in Sunday school today, that sometimes the issues become things that we have always done, things that were inconvenient, and things that we could tweak a little bit. And so we begin to change things. And the more we begin to tweak things and the more we get established in things, those become the sacred cows of the church. And most of the sacred cows in the church, outside of Jesus Christ, outside of faith, outside of His Word, are simply sacred cows. Now, the issue we talked about today, because we got tired of standing, why do we stand when we sing the songs? I don't know why we stand when we sing the song. Act of reverence? I don't know. But is worship tied to standing when we sing our songs? Is our prayer time tied to bowing our heads when we pray? Are we bound by a certain system or number of songs or all those things that have become our sacred cows? Because the Scripture defines our worship as in spirit and in truth. Now, in my mind, each one of us are unique individuals, and that would usher in a whole arena of chaos because we all would be different in our spirit and in truth. But the one consistency that we do have is God. And the one consistency that God has given to us is the Word of God. And when we lose track of the Word of God, then we become confused, and our lives become perverted. They aren't clear. They aren't pure like God would have them to be. It's a dangerous thing to go messing with the Word of God, the Gospel of God. So as we think about turning to this Gospel of God, we find that as we move away, as we put the sacred cows in the place of what God says, pretty soon we have a gospel that isn't really the gospel at all. And pretty soon it begins to move us away from the important part, the important focus of what we come here to do. And that is to worship Jesus Christ. Now, there are five things that the gospel does for each one of us. Can you hear me okay out there? If not, I can move closer. The first thing that the Holy Scriptures do, both Old and New Testament, is it accurately reveals the character and the heart of God. That's one thing that the Scriptures do for each and every one of us consistently throughout the entire world. That's just what it is. It accurately reveals the character and the heart of God. The second thing it does, it accurately identifies the Son of God. This is my Son. With Him I am well pleased. This is my Son. Listen to Him. This is my Son, who I love. Time after time, the Bible identifies Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Thirdly, it accurately reveals the plan of God. Now, that's where the church kind of gets into the weeds a little bit, because we have a list of things that you have to do to be a part of the church and to become a member of the church. But the Bible says that we are added to the church in response to our response to Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ is. When we believe who Jesus Christ is, that is identified by the Holy Scriptures, we are added to the church. Now, I can join a lot of organizations because that's my choice. I can choose to be a part of the church because that would be my choice. But I am not a part of the church until I am added to the church. And that's not done by humans. That's done by the head of the church, and that is Jesus Christ. Generally, when we talk about conversion, and we talk to somebody about their relationship with Jesus Christ, first of all, we invite them to our church, don't we? Did you ever stop to think that church makes absolutely no sense
unless you know Jesus Christ? Did you ever stop to think that baptism makes no sense unless you know Jesus Christ? And we all know that if living a life that pleases Jesus Christ makes no sense unless we know Jesus Christ. And that's why the foundational piece of our relationship with Jesus Christ, as recorded in God's holy word accurately, is faith. Believing in Him. There's no point in going through all of these things unless, first of all, we believe in Jesus Christ. Right? Agreed?
Amen.
Yeah, unless we believe in Jesus Christ, we have no foundation for all the other things that we go through. Now, baptism makes a great deal of sense when I belong to Jesus Christ because I begin to understand what it's about. Faith, my faith in Jesus makes a lot of sense. Where I go to worship makes a lot of sense in my relationship to Jesus Christ. And I don't want to knock you out of your pews today or anything, but this is not the only body of Christ in the community of Tilton. This is not the only body of Christ within the next 25 or 30 miles. Because Christ is in all and is all for all of His people. It's our faith that makes the difference. So the next time we talk to somebody about knowing Jesus Christ, maybe we ought to introduce him to Jesus Christ. Win him to Jesus. Let them make up their mind where they want to worship. Encourage them in the scriptures that lead us into the truth, that reveal who Jesus Christ is. Fourthly, the scriptures accurately reveal the promises from God. Now, if we listen to the world very much, we're going to miss out on a lot of the promises that God gives to us. The faith journey that we live allows us to experience the promises that God has made, that are eternal promises. And fifthly, the scriptures accurately reveal the boundaries of those who believe in God. In short, it tells us the successful way to live our lives. Let me back up just a second. The scriptures are the most important part of our spiritual journey because, first of all, they accurately identify the person and the heart of God. That's the most important thing, that we begin to understand who God is. And everything that God has created, if you believe that God created the world and He's created everything that goes on in the world, and you believe that God is in all and sustains all and does all these things, in spite of what Al Gore says, God is the sustainer of this world. And every law, the forces of nature, all that we see and all the systems in the universe verify the validity of God's word. They are consistent because they both reflect the glory and the identity of its giver. God created the world. It's His world. It's not ours. If it's going to get saved, He's going to do it. Not the deity of Al Gore, or those who represent the salvation of our world. If God is in control, He's the one that's got it in His hands. And believe me, I would rather trust God than any other entity out there. So as we find the consistency, Paul says in the book of Romans, in the first chapter, so that man is without excuse. So that man is without excuse. Friends, if we are biblically illiterate, it is a choice that we intentionally make. Because God has made it clear to us. There are five things, five M's, if you want to write these down, five M's that a misrepresentation or perversion of God's word does. First of all, it misrepresents the character of God. Have you ever heard anyone say how maniacal God is? How truly unloving God is because he allows certain things to happen in our world. It misrepresents the character of God. Now, if you know your scriptures, you know that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Every good thing that we can experience in life comes from God. Every bad thing that we experience comes from the brokenness of sin. And whose fault is that? Let's put that on Satan. So when something catastrophic happens in my life that breaks my heart, destroys my life, and just knocks me off the pedestal on which I stand, let's put the blame where it belongs. Let's put it on Satan. Let's put it on our lack of obedience to the very word of God that brings us life, hope, health, happiness, and all of the things that we live for and desire in this life. But a distorted gospel misrepresents who God's character is, and so we blame God for all the bad things that happen in the world. And the exact opposite is what's going on here. The second M is that it marginalizes, even denies, the deity of Jesus Christ. As you said in this pew today, God's child, who do you say that Jesus is? When Jesus came in the Gospel of Matthew, the 16th chapter, when Jesus came from Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? Well, some say you're Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But Jesus didn't care about what other people thought. He cares about what you think. Who do you say that I am? And Peter gives this great answer. You're the Christ. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says these words that sometimes we just read right past. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Maybe the most important words in that passage, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Flesh and blood marginalizes the identity of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit reveals the accuracy through the Word of God of who Jesus is. How do you diminish, this is my Son, whom I love? How do you diminish the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? How do you diminish all the things that Jesus did in love and grace and mercy? How do you diminish the gospel or the miracles that only Jesus could do? This is my Son. I'm expressing the love and the character of my Father for all who will believe in me. It marginalizes, the world marginalizes the identity, the deity of Jesus Christ. The third M, it modifies the plan of God. And when the world starts talking about modifying God's perfect creation or his systems, we know that they're messing it up. When we modify God's word, when we change God's word, it isn't pure anymore. And so we get a distorted picture of what God's word is. I don't want God's promise, his plan, modified. I want to walk in this purity with the help of the Holy Spirit. The fourth thing it does, and I see this, and I'm again, Mr. Gore, you bought it because you said it. It mocks the promise of God. Those who do not believe in Christ, who modify the scriptures, who bend it to fit their own agendas, it mocks the plan of God. And when we mock God by changing and confusing and perverting His word, we are in a dangerous place. Because God's word is perfect. And it will accomplish in its perfection, in its purity, the very purpose for which it is given. And fifthly, it mitigates the boundaries for its people. Mitigates the boundaries. Do you have a hard-wired morality code that you live by? What does the world say? Especially, start hearing it in the 60s. Do your own thing. It'll be all right. God's grace covers everything. That's not what I hear from the scripture. That's not what I read in the scriptures. But when it changes, we find ourselves in a place that we have no ability to escape from. Because God's word is true. The problem that we face with the intellectual side of the world today is that as we get down into the nitty-gritty and the nitpicking of what this word or that word means, and words are important. The meanings of the words are very important. But when we say, well, he changed this word, he changed that word, we're kind of missing the point, aren't we? Because if God can work through the Israelite nation, who were always obedient to God, not, hardly ever, did they accomplish God's perfect will because God just asked them to, or because he was with them. If he could work through and accomplish the promises that he gave to Abraham, that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through all this chaos and through all of this, I think it's no big deal for God to make his word pure and clear for us today. And the point of God's word is what? So that we can find out who the character and the heart of God is, so that we can have a relationship with him. And friends, if we don't use, and we don't keep, and we don't insist on the pure gospel of God, and we don't invest our time into knowing the one who gave it to us in his purity, in his holiness, in his righteousness, and his justice for our benefit, then we're going to miss out on the joy that God has intended for us to receive through his holy word. Paul was blown out of the water. What's happened to you that you've gone away from this pure message of the gospel and you've accepted the gospel of men, which I can't even define because it takes you nowhere. And when you're outside of God's gospel, when you're outside of God, you are cursed. You do have a negative outcome for your life. And so I'm going to tell you, a curse from God be on those who change and distort the Bible, who confuse you about the pureness of its word. And I'll say it again, a curse on those. And whether I preach it or whether an angel from heaven comes and changes this gospel, they're cursed. They're cursed. Because the gospel of Jesus' life, in all the trials and all the scrutiny that it has standed throughout all of time, throughout all, with all of the authors that have authored this book of God, it was written from the mind and the heart of God to those who will be his people. And I don't think I have any need to add anything to it or take anything away from it. It's perfect just the way it is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your holy word. The pureness of it, the help of it, the education that it gives us, that we might know you completely, that we might have that relationship with you that brings us the abundant life, that brings us joy. And so we thank you for this gift, this precious gift of your holy word. And we thank you in the name of the Son it was written about, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.